Lauren, it's Michael.
Hey, how are you?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's almost been a year. It's crazy. Time flies.
You said that in the mail. You
I
said
know, I know. It threw me off. I was like, wow, okay, it's actually almost been a year. Life has been so quick the past year for me.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what's happening. By the way, I love your profile picture on Skype.
Oh yeah, that picture is actually I'm on top of the volcano of Tenerife, the island off of Spain, and I just hiked up there. It was like 6 a.m. in the morning, and the gas was going, and so yeah, it was a happy moment.
So, are you a Spanish speaker as well?
So my dad's side is from Venezuela and Spain, but he never spoke Spanish around the house because he didn't really want us to adopt an accent.
Got that.
So I learned my Spanish through high school, actually.
Interesting.
Middle school, yeah. So I do know Spanish, but I'd like to say
Did you learn it
I
on your own?
So yeah, it's a lot of self-practice at this point, and that's one reason why I wanted to go to Spanish-speaking countries.
Yeah, so that was the thing I wanted to ask you. So, are you from Texas as well?
Yeah, so I'm from Texas, pretty much grew up in Austin, and I grew up in a family where I didn't think I would leave Austin. I didn't think I'd leave Texas.
Why?
Just, financial reasons, and
Fair enough.
and that wasn't really like my dad came over to the States for university and then met my mom, so that's normal for him, right,
Right.
to leave, but for my mom's side, not so much. So yeah,
And
that was just
had you been away or out of the country before you had come to Bangkok?
Yeah, so I've had the privilege through my university. I went to Honduras for like a 10-day consulting project my freshman year, and I got hooked. So I went again. I studied abroad in South Africa. After that, I hiked across Spain on the Camino de Santiago, that pilgrimage I think we talked about.
Right.
And then I came back to Spain and studied abroad there for my spring semester before Bangkok. Went to Bangkok, and then after Bangkok, I went to the Indian Himalayas on a program to volunteer with and learn about the Free Tibet Project, and then Australia and then other European countries within mixes. So I've had my fair share at this point, thankfully.
What is the lure for you about traveling? I mean, I love to travel as well, but it's interesting that you thought you'd never leave, and then it almost like you're never there.
Right. Yeah.
What's the lure?
So honestly, it's so I was thinking back, whenever I was reflecting at the end of my summer, I was literally scuba diving in the Great Barrier Reef, Michael. Okay. So I came to this realization that once you experience someone else's normal, your normal becomes way less normal.
Wow. Okay, that's the title, by the way. Somebody else is normal. But it's really true though, right? So go ahead. I want you to keep going with that thought.
Yeah, so like it is so true and such a thrilling experience for not only your body to adopt, but for your mind to adopt as well. Because I fell in love with the feeling of being lost in any city, right? And I've had to find that feeling of being lost in the city that I grew up in, transitioning back, but you look at the world like a kid again, right? So like you look at the world through that wonder, and it just heightens your feelings. It heightens your sensitivity and what you have to focus on around you, right? So like don't look at Google Maps to like figure your way around. But it reminds me of how I used to think as a kid, how I used to dream, how I used to believe, right? And to associate the feeling of being lost with the feeling of joy.
Right.
It's like it's such an invitation for life, right?
Wow. Yeah, I don't actually
So
don't even think I could have said that better myself.
yeah. I mean, the feeling exactly. Like that's why you stay in Japan.
Yeah, exactly. And I talked about it that night, but the concept here of being lost is really interesting, right? Because with the onset of Google Maps and with the, everyone has a GPS, right? It's just ubiquitous now. People are almost never lost, right? So there's never that sort of wonder of discovery. At least I talk about this all the time with people with whom I traveled when I was much younger, when I was your age, right? We got lost all the time when we traveled. And that was one of the fun parts about it. We were like, where is that place that we wanted to find? And we could literally spend hours trying to find it. But when we did finally find it, it was like a sense of wonder.
Yeah, it's such a reward.
It's just a massive reward. So what was it about Bangkok that you found wonderful? Did you get lost here as well?
Yeah, all the time.
Tell me.
Towards the beginning, you know, towards the end, I'd be trying to get lost. But gosh, the things that stick out immediately, like top of mind for Bangkok, is A, the sound, right? The smells, the colors as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it was just different. So I had never been to Asia before. And to be quite honest, aside from the research I had done prior, like, I've never really been exposed to any cultural food from that region, especially Thai food. I don't know the language, right? And that was one reason out of the probably three larger ones why I wanted to do Bangkok.
That's what I was gonna ask you. Bangkok.
Yeah. And so, but hey, at the end of the trip, I would definitely say that all of those differences, like the sound and just the everything, it almost became like, I don't know if your parents did this, but whenever they keep the laundry on at night, just kind of like a soother,
right?
it almost became comfortable. Like it was a sense of security, right?
I completely understand. Like when I go back to visit my brother who lives in Connecticut, which I haven't done for a while, but when I do that, I find it hard to fall asleep at night because he lives in the suburbs.
Yeah.
It's very uncomfortable for me because I need the noise of the city, and Bangkok has that a very specific noise to it. You're right. That's hard to replicate if you're not here, and if you're used to it, it does become very soothing.
Right. And I was trying to explain my experience to my parents, and we were talking about how the city moves really fast, but I also found in times where if you just stopped, if you just kind of like observed and disconnected for a little bit, the city does move slow, and there's so many parallels to the city that I just loved.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I often say that there's order in the midst of the chaos here, and if you can find that order, everything does really slow down.
Yeah, it is so well said and so accurate.
But you don't seem to get frustrated. So a lot of people travel outside of their comfort zone, right? And they end up getting very frustrated, and they fall into this pattern of, you know, why don't they, whoever they are, do things the way we do because that's the right way or the normal way to do it? But you don't seem to have that at all. Why?
Yeah. Well, I have gone through like those feelings, right? I think whenever I trekked across Spain, you know, it's like 500 miles. So you have to go through that every single day and kind of learn how to just and suck it up, right?
Sure.
But I think what I appreciate about going to different places is that it does challenge your, like I was saying, it challenges your normal, and it kind of, you have to redefine certain concepts and conceptual ideas and beliefs that you grew up. So like what is being safe? Like, what does that mean to be safe? Right.
Yeah. It's a really good question.
Yeah. Or like what, you know, you question like, what is transportation or, you know, it's just certain aspects. It does question you and it challenges you, right? It's a growth period.
I think so. And did you get the sense, so when you came home and you tried to explain this to your parents, or when you were talking to them when you were here, did you get the sense that they understood it, or was it just very difficult to explain to them what the experience was like?
You know, it was kind of both. I tried to explain it through almost sharing the experience with them. So like through food, through pictures, through the music I was hearing, and trying to explain color and stuff. And it was hard to like get that that sense of just being in such a different place than what we're used to here in Austin, Texas.
Right. Do you remember anything particular about the food that you ate and like the newness and like what was it that was so interesting?
Yeah, so it's different textures, right? And it's also different spices. Texas spice is way different than Thai spice as well.
Maybe.
The people I worked with, they're awesome. They always showed me new places. We ate at like new markets and restaurants. And I'll never forget the first time they took me out as sort of like a restaurant, like welcome dinner. They ordered me the least spiciest thing on the menu, and I was just crying. It was so spicy for me.
Where did you work?
Rapid Asia.
Okay. And where, like, what kind of place did they take you to? Was it street food? Was it kind of indoor street food? What kind of place was it?
So this first place, it was a restaurant. I think it's been there for a while. But, you know, we had street food, and I trusted the street food that they took me to. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of ventured on my own. But, it would be street food. It would be food in the, like, inside markets. They even drove me a little bit outside of Bangkok to certain malls, and we tried new stuff there. And it is a different flavor. Like, the flavors that are appreciated in Thailand are far different than in Texas.
Yeah, fair enough. So I want to swing back to something. You said it was slightly difficult to explain to your parents when you came home what the experience was like. But when you told them you were coming here initially, what was their reaction?
They were kind of like, oh, here we go again. Like,
they're kind of used to you.
Yeah. And so, like, I pay my way through college. And so they're like, well, if you can afford it, like, it's your money. We can't tell you no exactly. But we can tell you, like, be safe. Like, let us know how it's going. Send us pictures. And my dad also, he had a career in business overseas, and so he was excited that I was going to have this opportunity to work somewhere else other than the U.S. America.
Right.
And my mom was just worried, you know, she, like anyone else, right? You kind of base what you know off of certain stereotypes.
Right.
But then, you know, she started looking at travel shows in Thailand and Bangkok and seeing how it's normal, right? It's a new normal, but it's different.
So how was the work experience when you were here?
Oh, it was wonderful. I was pretty nervous because this is one of my larger first internships. And so, you know, I wanted to do well, and I was kind of scared because so Rapid Asia, they specialize in monitoring and evaluations for social development projects. So kind of like consulting for social good.
Wow.
And I have I'm studying business, and I was just super nervous because I didn't know if my knowledge and skills, if I was going to be able to apply them in ways that I wanted to succeed at. But it was completely not what I was expecting. They introduced me so, or I transitioned so fluidly. They gave me opportunities to go to conventions, and they really gave me an opportunity to step up and express my opinions, which that was one thing I was nervous about, just with the difference of hierarchy and respect and saving face. It was a lot of work, but it was fun. And I realized I love working with women. It was the Rapid Asia had three women at the time, and then the founder, who's a guy. But it was so empowering to be around strong, intelligent women.
It doesn't hurt to have great role models in that respect, does it?
Yeah.
It's totally. Really powerful, I think.
Yeah.
So is there something that you would take home from that? In other words, do you still think about that experience from a work perspective and think that there was also, because you seem very comfortable with this different environment, different cultures, different foods, and that you're just open-minded, which I think is also very important when it comes to personal growth, right, and adaptability. But the work is different than your non-work life, right? And did you find that there was something you took away from that internship that you'll keep with you as you enter the workforce? I presume you're a senior this year?
Yeah, I'm a senior. I'm graduating. I got 5 more Mondays left.
Is it that fast? Not that you're counting.
Yeah, no, definitely counting. But yeah, no, I'm excited for what's to come. But as far as what I took away from that experience, from an umbrella point of view, I realized that the people in my life are truly what, where I find value, right? And I also think that I learned that I thrive the best whenever I'm in those like growth mindset kind of places, and where you can fail fast and laugh often. And I later on, like after whenever I was in the Himalayas, I read this book called The Book of Joy. And it's His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and they're talking about this perspective, the astronaut perspective. I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's basically like once you see like the world from a far point of view, whenever you come back, everything else kind of seems smaller, right? Mm-hmm. And every single day working in Rapid Asia, there's always things popping up, whether it's trying to get a new bid on the project or trying to finish the project or go through the reports and stuff. And it was a lot. It was so fun, but it was a lot, right? And so now it's just having that astronaut perspective, right, for my next job or my next even just project. The way that we approached it as a team was one that I loved. It was very communal in the way that we worked.
So what would you tell somebody? And it sounds like you had a super experience, right? But what would you tell somebody who was thinking about going on a program like this? Maybe somebody who actually hadn't been abroad before. For you, the travel abroad is, it's a well-known thing, right? Working abroad is slightly different. But what would you say to somebody who was sort of on the fence? Like, should I go? Should I not go? And why would you tell them that they should or shouldn't?
Yeah, so especially from a student perspective, I think that it's important to take advantage of the time that we have. And I've reached out to a lot of mentees who come from my position where they didn't think it was possible to work abroad, nonetheless travel abroad. Mm-hmm. I had my mentors ask me, what will I regret more? Doing something like staying at home or maybe working in Dallas or Houston or working in Bangkok and exploring your curiosity and exploring a passion that you would love to pursue professionally. And so I think if you're curious, you already kind of know the answer. You need someone to invite you to go.
Right.
Right. So I would just say, like, take that jump, explore the curiosity and be open.
Right.
So, cheesy as that is.
No, it's not cheesy at all. I mean, it's just, it's interesting just based on, you know, your life position to have come to that conclusion so early.
Mm.
It's really interesting for me, right? I think it definitely took me a lot longer to figure that out. But maybe it's just because I hadn't traveled as much as you have. But I do think that travel adds a different perspective to your life. And once you add working in a foreign environment, I think you're just, your whole perspective changes on so many other things, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, you nailed it.
Yeah, and I think given the opportunity to do that, like you said, sometimes, you know, you have resource allocation problems, right? Can I afford this? Can I not afford it? But to the extent that even if there's a struggle to do it, I think you would regret not going, even if it was hard to do. I think it just makes more sense to try as hard as you possibly can, because you'll regret later that you didn't try it, as opposed to, you know, that was really hard to get done in the end.
Right. And it's so important to really seize opportunity. That's what I've learned. That's what I learned out of this program, is that you can seize opportunities and you can find them and create them. Like I reached back out to you after our initial meeting meeting you, because I was like, when am I going to ever talk to him again?
But why not though, right? But okay, what did we do though? We met a couple of times, right?
Yeah, we met a couple of times at the coffee shop, and we talked about like traveling and working abroad, but we also talked about life. And we talked about Amazon and just kind of like ways and new habits to adopt. I do remember our conversations very well.
And that type of stuff I think is really important. And you're right. Learning really early on right? That seizing the opportunity is very important. And we talked about this back then, I think, too, right? If life is binary, you start everything at zero. And if you don't ask for something, right? So we talked about this then, like you ask somebody, do you want to come to coffee? If the answer is no, it's already no before you start. So why not ask?
Right. You go back to that phrase of like, let them tell you no.
Yeah, because
like,
you're already at no anyway. So why not just ask?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this podcast opportunity is such an example of just those random, incredible opportunities that this program offers.
Yeah, I mean, it's and again, why would you say no to it, right? Because the worst possible thing that could happen is it doesn't necessarily go as well as you expected, or you can learn that confidence of extemporaneous speaking, and then once you do it once, it's like, I just want to keep doing it over and over again. You just have no idea what it's going to lead to, right?
Mm, yeah, totally.
So you're graduating in 5 Mondays.
Yes.
I got that
5
down.
Mondays. yeah.
What are you doing? So, when you're done, like, are you excited? What's happening?
I'm definitely excited. I think when we last spoke, I had no idea if I wanted to just go abroad and be an expat, right? Or go into the corporate world. And I did, this past fall, I did land a job and I'll be working with IBM, which I'm really excited. The people I met were wonderful. The program is a really cool and interesting program. But before I start working in August, late August, I actually volunteered to work with Samos Volunteers on Greek Island. Yeah, so Samos Volunteers, they volunteer on an island in Greece, pretty much next to Turkey, but I'll be volunteering at a refugee camp and kind of helping them out there however I can with the skills that I have. And yeah, so that's what I'm doing with my summer before I start working, is volunteering at a refugee camp, right? But some of that came from working with Rapid Asia on the projects that I worked with, and kind of knowing that, okay, I have no idea what the atmosphere will be like there, but it'll be okay. I'll adjust.
Right. I mean, in the end, you're not going to die. It's kind of the way I look at most situations. And if that's the worst possible thing that could happen is that you're not going to die, then why not go and do it, right?
Right. And even like, this sounds kind of somber, but even if you do die.
I agree. Yeah, I wasn't going to go there, but if you're going to go there, I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yeah, no, I'll totally go there. I'm all for it. Like, if you do die, then like, that was
worth
in a way like meant to be. It was worth it. Yeah. I always call my mom before I get on a flight. I'm like, Mom, I just want you to know, like, if anything happens, I have lived such a happy and an incredible life.
Right.
Like, I have no regrets. Maybe, like, it would be nice to have a family of my own, but like, no regrets.
But I say this all the time. Like, I just want my brother's kids to say, oh my God, my uncle died doing X.
Right.
Whatever X is. And as long as it's kind of cool, right? As long as it's not, even crossing the street, I guess, would be okay because it's going to be in some foreign country. But I've had an amazing life, so why not?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more. What's this role you have at IBM? What's the program you're joining?
So the specific program is called Digital Sales Summit, and essentially it's a sales program. I kind of think of it as like a consulting analyst for IBM products, right? You can totally change the name.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I could, one of the mentors that they kind of showed there during the interview process was, I could be going to a hospital, learning how they can be more efficient through IBM technology. And like, hey, if not, then like, what technology do they need to get there to the point where they want to be?
Right.
And so it's a six month training process, which is pretty extensive, but pretty awesome if you think about it at the same time. I'll be joining with a cohort of students from all over the country, and I think a few places abroad as well. And then afterwards, we kind of go into a shadowing process of from other people and kind of find our best fit. But I wanted those skills, and I wanted to see and understand the atmosphere of working in a corporate American company, too. I definitely want to move my way to work abroad, for sure.
Right. So where is the role?
It's going to be in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
Yeah, I'm an Austin fan, so We'll see, right? But there's jewels in every city.
I'm not
I'm not
familiar enough with the radical differences between the big cities in Texas to make a
totally
value judgment about what's different between
yeah,
Dallas and
so
Austin. I'll leave that to you.
yeah.
But I'll be curious to know over time. We should keep in touch because I'll be really curious to know over time how you satisfy this desire, if it's not just a desire, but like this need to travel and go do things, right? Because
Yeah,
once you join the corporate
definitely.
world, it just gets harder. You notice I didn't say it's impossible. It's just like everything else. You can figure out a way to do it, but it just gets harder, right? So it'll be really interesting to see how you satisfy that urge.
Right, yeah, I'm looking forward to that challenge for sure.
Look, that sounds awesome. This has been a fabulous conversation. It's always really great to catch up. And you got to promise me you're going to keep in touch with me because I want to find out like how this training goes and how you finally get yourself abroad again. But I really want to thank you for your time.
Yes, no, I will definitely keep in touch and thank you for this opportunity and for this story experience.
Yeah, you were awesome. Thanks again.
Have a good one.